been 100 degrees out there, and lightning strikes last weekend started. And anyway, they've evacuated everything.
All right, our thoughts go out to your brother.
And they moved it all to their neighbor across the road away, is a mile away. That they are having to evacuate there, too. So if it doesn't burn down today or tomorrow, they'll be okay. But I'm going to say it's like a mile. The fire is a mile away from their house right now, moving towards them. So, yeah, just think that for everybody, and think that in terms of move that flammable stuff away from your house if you're surrounded like I am. If you're surrounded by trees and forest and everything,
right?
Don't leave big piles of stuff that can burn you out.
All right.
Good advice.
Good advice. Thanks. Have a good time this weekend.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Whip it up on Glacier Lake.
I will. You know, I'll break even. If I break even, I'm happy.
There you go.
We're not looking for people that need to make a living playing cards at our expense. They can go to the casino and do that. Just come to, you know, come here as a group of friends who've mostly known each other for a long time, and swear a little bit and tell some tall tales, and, you know, there'll be some drinking. I don't think there'll be any fighting, but, you know.
All right.
you never know.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Yep.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people in the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you, like Scott, to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Now's your chance to see one of the most acclaimed indie rock artists of the past 20 years at Grand Rapids Urfest, going on Saturday, September 6th. In addition to Courtney Barnett, you'll get to see Alan Sparhawk, Jeremy Albino, and Margo Price. Don't let the bastards get you down. Don't sell your heart to no business man. Just sell it back next time around. Don't let the bastards get you down. You can get your tickets for Grand Rapids Riverfest at GrandRapidsRiverfest.com. You won't want to miss one of the biggest concert nights in northern Minnesota this year.
Grand Rapids River Fest, we keep talking about it. The weather's going to be great. We got a windy day today, but tomorrow is looking like some clear skies and some sun, not nearly as windy. And as we said, big announcement for Grand Rapids River Fest. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer, Kari Hedlund joining us in the studio, the creator of all things Riverfest and our music director. Thanks for being here. Good morning. How you doing? Sleeping at all, Missy?
Yeah. How about that? Did you open the window last night with some
cool? Did.
Nice.
I did. It was like that weird stuffy inside where the, obviously no AC, but you don't want heat. But there's not enough fan movement and all the things. I was like, windows popped.
I'm so glad you slept last night.
I know. There have been moments, you know, like at 3:30 in the morning when you wake up and then it's like your mind starts going of all the things.
I saw you do something at like 4 in the morning because I was also up for a minute. I was like, Kari, what are you doing up?
I mean.
But I didn't want to respond because then you would know I was also up.
Sometimes it's just good to get it out
and
then move on.
Yep.
But isn't it so frustrating though when you go to bed and you've got your mind on something. It's hard to sleep. You just grind.
Yeah.
How do you shut? Do you have a magic? I kind of like a big black curtain comes down and I can't think or see anything.
Beyond that? But
sometimes it works.
So then if things get through that big black curtain, what do you do with them?
I swear. I don't know. I don't know where to put them. But I mean, as of late, that's what's been happening. Especially like I was painting a house and I was stressed out about the house. I know we're getting off the subject, but you just start thinking about the day ahead or the week ahead, and what's the magic in shutting your brain down?
Well, I don't know, but for me, it's a weird visual thing too. Like with your black curtain, it's a white room, not white. It's just it's a stark room with nothing to distract me. Mm-hmm. And if thoughts creep in, I like with my eye movement, I like throw them out. And I'll keep throwing them out until they stop coming.
Yeah, you do have to throw things
because
out.
Because sometimes it keeps coming back and it's like, no, get out of here. This isn't your room. Like, you don't belong in here. So I do something similar.
Good.
I also have an eye mask, and an eye mask shuts kind of the world off sometimes.
Oh, wow. I don't have any...
No, I haven't asked.
Any tactics?
No, it doesn't work very well. So I want to hear about the big news for Grand Rapids River Fest.
Well, first of all, in mentioning that the weather is, you know, very fall-like tomorrow, which I've heard lots of excitement about. People so stoked to get back on their pants and sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. There are going to be fire pits out there tomorrow, too, which will be nice and vibey. But we just wanted to... it's been a tough year, right? Like, this has been in public media. This has been quite the summer that we've been on a ride for. And Riverfest is just sort of our opportunity to, like, celebrate and celebrate in music, celebrate in art, celebrate in community. And we've decided to, normally we raise the prices on the day of the festival. And we've decided to keep them the same. So prices will be staying the same tomorrow. We'd love you to get them today. But if you come to the door, you will not have to pay an increased price, which is pretty normal and what we've done in the past. But we've decided to just encourage as many people as we can to get down and celebrate with us and have a great, great day.
And sometimes the cost is an issue and sometimes the weather is an issue. But this is going to be good weather. It's you're not going to be sweating. You're not going to and you're not going to necessarily get cold. You have to dress appropriately, but... Nice.
Bring a blanket. Sit on the hill with your blanket on. I mean, come on. That sounds lovely.
Music.
And you can, you know, you don't have to haul all of it in. You can wait and see how the weather is. Right. Go back to your car, grab the warmer stuff,
which,
you know, leave for a little bit if you want to, and then come back in.
You guys were there. We've had concerts in 40 degree weather out in the Howlin' Brothers that one year. They had all acoustic instruments and we were like, ooh, the weather is not so good. And we got heaters.
We've had heaters.
The four on the floor. It was
four
snowing.
On the floor. Yeah.
People were in snow pants. Well, Gabriel was shirtless.
Those are the things you remember. You're going to remember great music. And Kari, I've never heard of Avant Gardner, and it's my new favorite song.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
We actually had someone drop off a cucumber for Courtney after that song played the other day.
Thanks to Woodtick for that.
Oh, Woodtick's bringing in a cucumber.
Oh, love it.
That is the news, and we can't wait to see you. It is tomorrow. Doors, gates open 2:00.
2:00. Music starts at 3:00 with Alan Sparhawk. I don't know if you heard Banjo Dave from Trampled by Turtles is going to be playing with him. Eric Pollard, a.k.a. Actual Wolf, will be playing with him too. So lots of familiar faces up on the stage with Alan kicking off the day. It's going to be great.
Beautiful.
Thanks for coming in, Kari. Coming up next, we'll have the sports page. We receive support from Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com.
We also want to thank Hot Tubs in Northern Minnesota Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the Sports Page. It's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm John Bauer, Kyle Erickson, Megan Buffington, Heidi Holton. We're waiting on Fred Friedman. And if I could paint a picture, the mood in here is just like kind of a, I don't know, kind of a confusing mood now.
It's kind of like the weather outside today. It's kind of gray and blustery and...
Megan, were you sitting on the couch watching the football game?
I was sitting, until the 1 hour lightning delay. And I said, I'm glad I went to bed because Eagles Cowboys NFL season opener last night, wild start to the game. scoring on every drive, and then there was a 1 hour lightning delay, and then it was punt, 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 turnover on downs, game over.
And I think
so. I'm glad I went to bed.
I think the lightning delay had that. I mean, these guys are going hard, and then they got to shut it down for an hour, and then they got to get back, you know, stretch and do their thing. And I just think they got taken out of it. But let's talk about the beginning of the game. And did you see the later video of what actually happened with?
I did. Yes. Yeah. So first of all, very first opening drive or opening kickoff. One of the Eagles players looked like he might have popped his Achilles or something. I haven't looked to see.
6 seconds in.
Yeah. Ooh. So that's already crazy. Then while they're dealing with that injury, Jalen Carter, Eagles run stuffer, is over. John at the Cowboys kind of walked over to their side while they're in the huddle, and he and Dak Prescott are going back and forth. And in the initial angle that you got from NBC last night, it looks like they're just talking – and Jalen Carter spits on Dak Prescott's chest. Immediately, there's a ref right there. He gets ejected from the game.
Yeah, 6 seconds in there.
Yep, yeah. Has not played a snap, already is ejected from the game. There's another later angle that I've heard about. I haven't watched it yet, but it looks like about 10 seconds before that, Dak Prescott spits at the ground, kind of toward Jalen Carter.
Like,
Which... there's some provocation there. Still a little different than spitting on someone. There is a distinction there. So
I think we might have Fred on the line. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So just how disappointing.
What a start. And it completely changed the game. It should not have been that close, but the Cowboys were able to run the ball in a way that they weren't expecting to. So.
Yeah. Morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Did you stay up for the whole game?
I thought what happened last night was very bad for football. It's bad for the audience. It's bad for advertisers. It's a bad look. It's a really bad look. And you mark my words, all it does is encourage high school kids to spit at people.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're cracking down on stuff like that this season. I think it was Nolan Smith flexed on a guy last night and got a taunting call. I mean, they're saying they're putting up with it this year. So,
no,
which I think is
no,
a little
Megan,
excessive.
I think it's ridiculous.
They're cracking down because there's 8 refs and 1,000 TV cameras. I'm telling you, kids emulate this stuff all the time.
But they're getting rid of the throat cuts and all kinds of awful
no
stuff.
No more.
Yeah, any weapons.
Yeah, pistols, any weapons. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So the season is underway. And now I think today we have Kansas City. And they're in where?
They're playing the Chargers in Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo. But it's unclear to me what the TV story is. I know it's on YouTube, but I don't know if it's anywhere else.
I know it's on YouTube for free. I also don't know if it's going to be somewhere else. But.
Anyway, the season's
what
underway.
What time does the game start?
Seven-hour
like time?
Yeah, it must be.
Mm-hmm. So probably 7:20 kickoff.
Okay.
And the Vikings play Monday night against the Chicago Bears. And now, Kyle, you came in with a little bit concerned about a quad or a hamstring.
Well, Justin Jefferson tweaked his hammy in camp and didn't play a down in the preseason to try to rest it. And a report came out yesterday saying that his hamstring injury is probably going to require season-long management. I think it was 2 years ago he missed 7 games with a hamstring injury.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you all know that I think it's going to be uphill sledding with J.J. McCarthy behind center anyway. If Jefferson misses time and Addison is suspended for, the first 3 games?
He's painting that picture. He's painting that outside picture again. So what is going on, Fred, with Harris? Does anybody here know about what's going on with Harrison Smith?
He's got a personal illness.
I don't think
anything's been disclosed otherwise.
And he hasn't practiced since August 7th. And then who's our linebacker,
Andrew Van Ginkle.
He hasn't played either.
Yep, so they finally disclosed he's dealing with a neck injury, which is a little concerning.
Ooh, that's not good.
Wow.
He was the straw that stirred their defense's drink last year.
Well, we got Adam Thielen. We'll just throw the ball to him every play.
Oh my gosh! I had a friend. He's not listening, so I'll say it. He took Adam Thielen in the 3rd round of a fantasy draft.
Oh my goodness!
Which, for those who don't follow fantasy football, Adam Thielen's projected to go like 200th pick overall.
Yeah. That is some purple Kool-Aid stuff, right?
He's trying
there.
To justify it. It was amazing.
Fred, are you in a fantasy football league?
No, I don't even know what that is.
That's not some newfangled. This has been around a while.
Around for 80 years.
Yeah, my fantasies have nothing to do with football, but Megan's way too young to understand this.
Whoa, okay. We can edit that out and post.
Edit and post.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to say this. A couple of weeks ago when Kyle first was saying, I'm down on him, McCarthy, this, that, or anything else. You know, if they get some injuries, it's worse than we think, as opposed to just managing resting older players. Kyle, you might be onto something. I will point out Harrison Smith hasn't played a down in preseason football or showed up for practices in 2-3 years now. So, yeah. You know, they know what we're doing. Yeah. But if Jefferson's hurt at all, if he's only 80%, that's really serious. So we'll see.
And I kind of got the grips of the new kickoff. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's not new. It's the same as last year. It's tweaked a little bit. The distance where they kick is different, isn't it? Or no, where they put the ball.
Where they put the ball. So it's the same as last year, but if you get a touchback, then it's on the 35 rather than the 30.
Thus, not kicking the ball in the end zone and letting them run
out.
Yes,
they want to up the rate of return, which was at an all-time low.
Yeah.
So they made all these changes because they wanted fewer returns because there are too many injuries.
They want lots of returns, but no injuries. And they're really trying to force a best of both worlds. Just lined up
at this line of scrimmage, right? They're like a yard apart, the offense and defense blocking schemes on a kickoff. They're not running into each other. They're not running 30 yards towards each other. There's a line of scrimmage now on kickoffs. Why was everybody looking at me like this?
Because at some point they're going to be running into each other.
No, I know, but they're not running 20 yards into each other. It's a line of scrimmage play. They're 1 yard away from each other to block for the kickoff.
Yeah, it's a little different. So or they're closer.
Is there something going on outside here? What the hell's going on? It was the phrasing.
Someone on the kicking team is going to get through that line and run.
I know, but they don't have. They can't get momentum going up. The kicker's going to get his butt kicked. Wow,
that's good.
This is really strange.
Practice.
I think it's just like the weather outside. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the Lynx, Heidi. They won their last game.
Nope, they lost by 10.
Last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played the Las Vegas Aces. And this was their fourth time they played the Aces, and they won all three games. In fact, won by 53 points the last time. They lost by 10 last night, and it was a tough game. I guess Becky Hammon, the coach of the Aces, did a whole new tactic. This is their 13th consecutive victory, the Aces. And she's letting the players coach because things were not working for them before this.
Just let them be athletes?
Yeah, they're writing the playbook. Is that how?
Well, they're just probably just responding and acting, using their athletic ability.
It was a tough game. And if the Lynx end up going against Las Vegas in the finals, it's going to be tough.
Well, there
was some great stuff going on. I mean, Natisha Heidemann was just on fire. They all did some great things and they were kind of keeping up as it went. And then, you know, you miss a couple of turnovers and you're down.
You know, you can put that at all levels of in any sport, but specifically basketball. If you have players who are so concerned about the spot they're supposed to be in, it doesn't allow them to use their athletic ability. So I think that's probably what's going on here. Yeah. You're more concerned about where you're supposed to be than responding and you know, spreading the court. Biggest thing in basketball is to spread the court. You just can't have three people in a hula hoop.
So the Lynx still the best in the league with 32-9. Now Las Vegas are 27-14. And the Minnesota Lynx will play on Saturday against the newest team in the league, the Golden State Valkyries. And they are currently 23-18.
Oh, they are. They're over 500.
Pretty good for an expansion.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Heidi, we've got 3 games left in the regular season.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And are we resting? Did we rest players yesterday? Because I know that was the talk.
Dejanay Carrington. Fred? She had a little, not a huge injury, but I think it was more of a rest. Is that right, Fred?
Yeah. It is. And I want to say, they are set up for all these home court advantages in the playoffs. They're set up just the way you want them to be. So, yeah, there is reason for optimism, and I'm not concerned about a loss here and there after the home court's wrapped up.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard. Better to rest.
It's hard to beat someone three times in a row. I don't care how good and bad the balance is. It's just kind of hard. So that's good. They need to be tested.
Fred says, good rest the players. And I agree with that to a large extent. Where do you find the balance point between resting people, especially if they're dinged up, and playing them enough so that they stay sharp?
Yeah.
Coaches have only been trying to figure that out for a century, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
I do have another subject I want to bring up quickly. Here's the hardest interview to get on KXE, but here's the interview I want. I want to interview the chair of the Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina who overrode the president and the athletic director, hired somebody they didn't want to hire for $20 million a year, more than anybody's getting, gave $21 million to NIL, and they laid the coach, Belichick's players that he recruited, laid an egg beyond an egg beyond an egg.
Who was it, Texas Christian?
And they lost by
TCU.
What?
At home.
24,
at home.
30, something.
Yeah. You know what? It did look like they were not prepared. They were playing like they didn't kind of know what they were doing.
They'd never seen a spread offense that TCU runs, which is not new. It's not something
very
innovative.
Common in college,
They were tentative on everything they did, I felt. And they got pounded, and there was nobody left in the stands. At the end of the game.
For that celebrity, I was one of those, you know, like almost not quite a Super Bowl, but when they're cutting all the celebrities in their boxes and everything, and you had all these big names to see Bill Belichick do his debut.
They showed a dog. They showed a dog in the TV booth.
I think the dog was calling the game by the end there. There's a nice clip of Herbie putting the headphones on him and everything.
And I don't think there's one person in the world that was shook up that Belichick struggled.
No, but this could be a major. This could really be a disaster. You know?
There's almost a reason. Almost like there's a reason no one in the NFL hired him to be a coach.
TCU's
social media team was on point and ready for this. ESPN and others had hyped it up and hyped Belichick up, and they had a one liner for everything the whole time. It was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, all true.
Okay, let's briefly talk about the team that Kyle's following every night, sits down with a box of popcorn, watches the Twins. They are pitching is horrible.
It turns out when you trade away your entire bullpen, you don't get good. Well, they gave up seven runs last night to the...
Oh, bullpen gave up seven.
Five in the seventh and two more in the ninth. Yeah.
Blew a three-run lead.
Fred, you going to go to any more games?
Yeah, I already have season tickets bought way last March for the 20th, which is now a doubleheader. So, hey, when you know, getting rid of tickets is not so easy as you know. So I'm already declared I'm not buying them next year after several years. And I wonder if the poll ads are prepared for how bad ticket sales are going to be next year, you know, next summer. And doesn't this reduce the value of the team they're trying to sell? What do you guys think about it?
I don't think they're going to try to sell the team anymore. They took on two new minority partners. The figure I heard was, $500 million?
Something like that.
In capital that they brought
400
in.
Each. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if they're going to use that to take out a bunch of the debt and improve cash flow or what they're doing. They're not going to put it into payroll next
year.
No. We know that. So I don't know. What in the world that's going to look like? What I feel really bad for is Byron Buxton.
I was just going to say, is he changing
Buxton
his tune now?
He's been a team guy.
He is
acknowledging his injury issues. He signed a pretty team friendly multi-year contract. He's stayed fairly healthy this year. He's having a career year. He'll hit his next home run will be his 30th.
And there's not a higher character guy in the league.
Absolutely.
Than him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know?
And then he watches them throw away a flawed but promising young core in a really good bullpen. And he and Joe Ryan have to be looking around thinking, what kind of mess are we in?
So if I'm Joe Ryan's agent, if I'm the agent, I'm yelling and screaming at him the day the season ends. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, trade my guy, my client.
Well, why wouldn't Buxton feel that same way? He's sitting out there in center field, and these relief pitchers come in. They don't even know who the hell they are, and they just can't.
He's got a big loyalty DNA gene in him. You know what I mean? His kids are in school here now in the fall and the spring, and I don't know, but sure, I get what you're saying.
Well, there's a guy batting 161. His name is Outman. I think his name is Outman.
He is the Outman.
Oh, they're just over. But our second baseman is doing amazing. He was 4-for-5 again last night.
Kishel?
He's a player, I think. I mean, he's been long enough tested to see if they can pitch around him.
Go ahead, Megan.
I would say he's long enough tested to know for certain. He's looking great right now.
I've got Jose Miranda in the back of my mind.
Stop it, Kyle. The weather today.
This guy is the next Gary. He's knocking the ball all over the field. Future superstar. And he looks like he'll be out of baseball.
We got to have some positive thing going into next year. We're going to have two players? Really?
I want a math teacher to explain to me how somebody can have 18 or 19 home runs and only 30 RBIs like Walden has.
I remember this is so random, but Fred, maybe this will click for you too. Way back about 25 years ago, the Yankees brought up a guy named Kevin Moss. Had a great uppercut left-handed swing. He got that short porch in right field. And in about half a season, he hit 21 home runs. Only had 42 RBIs or so, and everybody's thinking, oh, my, this is the next Babe Ruth here. Mm-hmm. And he's out of baseball like 3 years later. So you just really never know. I Kishel looks like he's got the tools to stick be a star. I hope he is. I hope the owners start behaving like decent owners, but I am pretty pessimistic.
I'm going to bring up another name that, in reference to just what you said, Bobby Darwin. The Minnesota Twins. He was the same thing. He was on fire, and now he didn't make it very long.
Oh, I can remember a game early in April, years and years ago, when he struck out 3 times in a row against Nolan Ryan, and then hit a 450 home run late at night in Anaheim. And I says, "Hey, we got something here. We got something here." Well, by Memorial Day, right? He was back in Rochester or Wichita or wherever they were then, you know?
All right, it's time for trivia, and I'm going to read the trivia now.
We got a text in from Bill from Wabana. He says, I'm going to the Twins game next Friday to see the great stadium, eat a Tony O'Cuban sandwich, watch Byron Buxton, and watch minor league baseball.
And maybe get a foul ball, because your odds are good. Less there's 9,000 people in that stadium.
No one to fight with.
Yeah. So foreign influences, for example, Ariana Sabalenka, is that how you say it, from the Eastern Europe country of Belarus, is the number one seed in the women's single competition at the U.S. Open tennis tournament going on in New York this week. Jannik Sinner is the number one seed on the men's side of the U.S. Open. What country is he from?
Italy.
Oh, nice. You were confident.
His rivalry with Carlos Alcaraz has been... I don't follow tennis like I used to, but I like tennis rivalries.
Who's the Who's the guy from Spain that's doing so good? Is that...
Alcaraz.
Oh, my goodness. Is he good?
Yeah.
This Cuban is the only player in baseball history to win the Rookie of the Year award and batting title in the same year.
Tony
Oliva.
There you go. Yep. Tony hit .323 that year, 1964, and led the American League in hits, 217, doubles, 43... Extra base hits, 84. Total bases, 374 runs.
Ooh.
Wow.
Not bad.
This Australian was an All-American at Stanford. Her 75 block shots ranks third in the NBA this season.
Australian.
She's a Lynx.
I should know this.
Heidi, do you know this?
Is that Atlanta somebody?
Atlanta Smith, yep.
I guess I didn't know she was an Aussie.
This Brit won the Masters 3 times and the British Open 3 times.
Is that Nick, one of the Nicks? Feldo?
Nick Feldo, nice job. This NHL star, Czechoslovakia, is second only to Wayne Gretzky in points, career points.
Oh.
Megan, you know this one. Come on.
I probably don't.
Czech.
First name starts with a J.
Jaromir Jagr.
There you go.
Yard.
He was unstoppable on NHL 94 on the Super Nintendo back in the day.
I think he's still unstoppable. This native of Scotland hit one of the most famous home runs in baseball history.
Bobby Thompson.
Bingo. This WNBA star from the Bahamas was the MVP of the finals last year. I actually knew this one.
Well, that's
tall, slender.
Got to be the New York.
JJ is her first, her initials, first and last.
Hear it, Heidi.
We can feel the pressure.
Yeah.
Is it Jonquil Jones? Jonquil Jones.
Jonquil Jones. Yeah.
This Dominican nicknamed Boomstick spent 2.5 of his 18 years in the big leagues with the Twins.
Nelson Cruz.
Nice. I thought it was Bombo Rivera. I digress. This player from Senegal and the University of Louisville and another from Nigeria and Georgia Tech were teammates on the Timberwolves for two seasons in 2018-20.
Oh, I was the guy who always loved to try to shoot threes, and he was just terrible.
Don't look at me. I'm not watching the Wolves.
One is still playing.
Oh.
Fred?
No. Who is it?
Luol Deng? No.
Gorgie Jang?
Gorgie Jang, yeah.
And Josh Okogie.
Yep.
He's still playing, I think.
He was playing somewhere out west last I heard.
Or something. Yeah. This Canadian hit 356 home runs in his career and was the 2010 National League MVP. If necessary, there's...
Is that Walker?
No, I'm so sorry.
Is that Walker?
Todd Helton?
He's no. Last name starts with a V.
Colorado, isn't
last
it?
Name starts with a V. Got two O's and two T's in his last name.
Oh, Joey Votto. Joey Votto.
It's spelled V.
Well, I'm just trying to move things along.
I clearly do not know country of origin very well.
Okay,
that's not a doesn't stick in the brain usually.
No. Yeah. Okay, this is the last one that will get out of your brain. This NBA All-Star, scoring champion and MVP, started out playing soccer and volleyball in the Cameroon before discovering his talent in basketball.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Is that Olajuwon?
No, oh. Plays for the 76ers. Still plays. Wow, this we're all just murky. Well, like
we're on the struggle bus.
Too much basketball trivia.
He was an MVP.
Joel
Embiid.
There you go.
You say he still plays, but does he?
Just complains.
More days on the injured list than on the court.
He's on the payroll.
He's on the payroll. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend. See you at the festival. Fred, front row seats?
Yep, I'll do my best. Bye.
See you, folks.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. A 15-year-old Brainerd High School student was taken into custody on suspicion of felony threats of violence on Wednesday. The Brainerd Police Department reported it was contacted by a staff member who overheard the boy making threatening comments on the first day of school. The student was transported to a juvenile detention center, and the case has been referred to the Crow Wing County Attorney's Office for possible prosecution. In a news release, the police department says it never identified an immediate threat to the school's safety, and there are no continued threats. In the wake of last week's deadly mass shooting at a Minneapolis Catholic school, Brainerd police remind residents to report it immediately if they hear or see something concerning. Minnesota State Auditor Julie Blaha announced Thursday she will not seek re-election. Blaha is the 19th person to serve in the role and has been in office since January 2019. In a news release, the DFLer says it's been an honor to serve as auditor and to accomplish her goals of, quote, rebuilding an office that was under attack and protecting Minnesotans' rights to make decisions in their local communities. When Blaha took office, legislators were attempting to defund and possibly eliminate the office of the state auditor. Its role is to oversee local government financial activity by performing audits and analyzing local government financial statements. It also reviews other data, reports, and complaints related to finances. Blaha will serve through the remainder of her term, ending in January 2027. Emergency responders in two local communities will participate in exercises to ensure readiness for emergency situations. Beginning at 10 a.m. on Friday, firefighters and others will take part in a full-scale event at the DNR Tanker Base at the Bemidji Airport. The event is not expected to affect traffic on Gillette Drive, but people are asked to be aware and not be alarmed if they see flames, flashing lights, and emergency vehicles in the area. Similarly, an exercise will take place next week on Wednesday at the Pine River Fairgrounds in Cass County between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. That exercise will test training and response actions to a simulated incident involving victims, hazardous materials release, vehicle extrication, and other coordination activities. The Cass County Sheriff's Office is asking travelers to be cautious when traveling through town and to avoid the area if possible that day. Runners from all over will converge in Detroit Lakes this weekend for the 30th annual Dick Beardsley Races. Larissa Donovan has the story.
At 69 years old, Dick Beardsley does not appear to be slowing down. The legendary runner was a top finisher in what is now known as the Duel in the Sun during the 1982 Boston Marathon. Former of Detroit Lakes and now a Bemidji resident, Beardsley has been part of his namesake race since its inception, but he says he gets way too much credit for it.
All I do is show up. I do a little talk, sing a few songs, greet the runners when they come into the finish line. Everybody else does all the work to put it on, and I'm honored that they wanted to name it after me, and then the fact that it's still around.
One of the longtime coordinators for the race was the late Mark Knudsen, who also directed the Fargo Marathon. Knudsen died 2 years ago at the age of 53 as the victim of a bicycle versus vehicle crash in Detroit Lakes. Current race coordinator James Botner says he got involved early on to learn from Knudsen and is now motivated to carry on the legacy.
I volunteered for many years, helped him out as best as I could, both in Fargo and Detroit Lakes. And after his passing, I wanted to do what he did and kind of keep that going locally and do my best. I still have a lot to learn. I wish he was still around for many, many reasons, but that ultimately is why I'm a part of it.
Organizers hope to see 3,000 participants in the Dick Beardsley Half Marathon, 10K, or the 5K that all start at 8 a.m. Saturday from the Detroit Lakes Pavilion. As a carb-heavy favorite for athletes of this sport, the pavilion will also host a spaghetti feed Friday night that is open to all, with more details on the race at KAXE.org. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories at KAXE.org, where you can also find your guide to Grand Rapids Riverfest weekend and more on the 130th birthday celebration of the iconic Old Central School building in Grand Rapids. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Coming up, we're talking First Friday and weekend events in Northern Minnesota. Support comes from the 17th Annual Community Connect, Thursday, September 18th from 11 to 3 at Yanmar Arena in Grand Rapids. Over 50 social service agencies providing information on housing, energy, county assistance, and more. All are welcome. More info found by dialing 211.
Also want to thank Great Lakes Aquarium, celebrating 25 years of bringing aquatic life and the learning to Duluth, Minnesota, with ocean and freshwater-focused exhibits for visitors of all ages. Hours and tickets at glaquarium.org.
The Mitza Garden in Virginia has a fall plant sale. That's today from 8 to 1. The garden is located on Bailey Lake on 3rd Street North in Virginia.
And the Beltrami County Historical Society in Bemidji hosts a forum called Women Elected to Lead, Voices from Local Government, Saturday, September 6th at 10 a.m. Three women with firsthand experience will explore the challenges, responsibilities, and rewards of local leadership.
Now it's time to talk about this weekend. Grand Rapids Riverfest weekend happens to fall on a first Friday. Did last year too, didn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I know. I think it did.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah. Katie Marshall's joining us in the studio. So much going on this weekend.
Oh, it is. A lot.
Yes.
So, I guess I better jump right in.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we've been sitting in here, but there's a lot of hubbub out there, huh?
There is, yeah. I was trying to not be underfoot, and that was not really possible. Mm. But everybody was very kind, but I came in here so I wouldn't be in the way.
Yes.
But yes, there's a lot of activity out on the street. They're closing streets down. And mm-hmm.
And we got some wind today, right?
Yes, yeah, it is
pretty
quite windy.
Strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll go away by
it'll
tomorrow.
It'll go away, yep.
We're happy with
it's
the weather.
5 to 10
so.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. A nice breeze.
Yeah. So what's happening tonight?
Yeah, well, there is a huge art walk today. There's all kinds of things going on downtown. It was a two-page flyer this time, which is always exciting. It has to spill over. So I will just start running through things. First of all, we, McCroskey and the Rife Center partner, McCroskey curates their gallery for them. And we have the end closing reception for an exhibit that's been up for the last 2 months called In Praise of Pollinators. And it's a show celebrating pollinating species. There's a featured artist, Ann Gorman, who's a photographer from Bemidji. But then there's about 30 additional local artists who have work in the show as well. So if anyone hasn't had a chance to see that yet, today's the last day. It's a really a fantastic show, just lovely subject matter. And it's really always fun to see a group exhibit like that with so many different artists on display. And the artists will be there this evening. A number of them will be. So you can stop in from 4 to 5 at the Rife. That's just a short-term part of the art walk. We do it kind of early on since it's a bit of a drive from the downtown, but stop in and visit with the artists from 4 to 5. There'll be some refreshments. Then you can head downtown, and we have a new First Friday art walk venue this month. Davis Chiropractic is participating. They are going to be open from 5:30 to 7 for First Friday events. Their own Dr. Todd Newman plays mandolin and guitar, so he will be performing. They'll have some refreshments, and they're also just going to be welcoming folks to their space and showing out some of their new therapies. So I encourage people to stop in and give them some First Friday love since they're new to the art walk. Then at Bender's, they're hosting Loon Country Quilters. That's a group that was formed in 1983 by local women interested in quilting, and their legacy lives on. They have a current group of enthusiastic quilters, so they'll have some of their work on display at Bender's. Okay. Stained Glass with Class will have another fiber artist, Kayla the Tart, with So Festive. She creates laser-cut embroidery kits. And then across the street in the old Kramer's lot, the Northern Cruisers and Itasca Vintage Car Club are having their final show and shine event of the season, and that is open to collector cars of any model year. It's going to be a little chilly in the lot, but yes, so stop by for the last car show of the season there. Then Wings and Willows Art Gallery is welcoming jewelry maker Lynn Marie Designs. She has handmade jewelry inspired by wood, stone, metals, and earth that's naturally sourced, timeless, and beautiful. And Rapids Brewing has live music, as always, from 6 to 9 with Sam and Matthew Miltich, with special guests this month, Dave Graff on trombone, and Doug Haining on saxophone and Trevor Haining on drums. And then there's a whole suite of things happening at Old Central School for their 130th birthday / grand reopening celebration. And I know that they've been in and talked through the lineup, but basically there's something happening in just about every space on every floor. There's new businesses.
And every space is filled now in that building.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So they have
that's great.
They have a cake cutting at 5:30 in a sing-along, but then throughout the evening there's events, all throughout.
From hair tinsel to, you know, thrifting to pottery to candles. Holy cow.
Yes, it's a lot. And then we have a concert. The last First Friday concert of the season is with Greg Kaser from 4 to 6 p.m. I have it on the lawn, but that's TBD. Right now we have a tent set up, but it's also, I know when it's a little chilly, it's hard to move those fingers. So we might try to find an indoor location for him.
Might be hard to hold the tent up too with the winds.
So it's somewhere in the vicinity of Central School. Greg Kaser will be performing from 4 to 6 p.m. for a free concert, so you can stop by and check that out as well. And then at McCroskey, we have a new exhibit opening, of course. This month it is called Expressing Grief, and it's a group show that has five different artists kind of with their works that they created as part of their process of working through grief, and it's just a way of showing sort of the way that art plays a really important role in, you know, dealing with a lot of different emotions, and in this particular case, the grieving process. So each artist has a very different approach, but they all, you know, are coming from a similar place. So
do they all four know each other? Or?
No. This is a show that we kind of put together. So the artists are Anne and Meg Gorman. Anne's from Bemidji. Her sister Meg currently lives in the United Kingdom, but it will be here as well. And then Molly May is from Brainerd. Eric Twait is also from Brainerd. And then Susan Sveda Pashad is from Eau Claire. And they each applied for an exhibit last year. And the number of exhibit proposals last year that related to grief was kind of...
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, it was a lot. And we started to realize, like, this is kind of a theme emerging. And so rather than having an entire year full of exhibits on that subject, we thought we'd put them together because, there's just a lot of, you know, obviously they're all very different, but they complement each other in different ways, and it's all part of the same kind of conversation. So
what might we see there?
I mean, there's paintings. There's some, you know, real figurative paintings, but then there's also some abstract There's photography, there's printmaking, there's sculpture. And so it's kind of a whole range. And there's some poems. The sisters, Anna Meg Gorman, do pieces that are collaborative. The photographer and the print, then the printmaker makes a print that's similar to the photograph, and they're based off of a poem. So we're covering a lot of bases. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So that'll be from 4 to 7, and I believe all the artists will be attending. There'll probably be some combination of artist talks going on.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy night, but there's plenty of parking. You may have to walk a few blocks or something, but there are plenty of places to be. And so much going on. Again, our big announcement for Grand Rapids River Fest, the ticket price will not increase tomorrow. We sort of understand the way of the world at the moment and want to make sure that you show up. Some people have to kind of wait till the day arrives to decide whether or not they can make it. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Or you can get your tickets right now, get it done with, go to GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. And we'll see you there tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow.
I'll be around.
Lucky that. Yeah,
we'll see you tonight.
Yeah, thanks.
It's the Friday morning show. It's People Powered, KAXE.
This is the Set List on KAXE, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. Grand Rapids River Fest is here this Saturday, September 6th at the Public Library Amphitheater close to the banks of the Mississippi River. Here's info on all four artists on the lineup. This year's headliner is Courtney Barnett, an Australian indie rocker acclaimed for her witty observations on the everyday and mundane, all in her trademark deadpan delivery. Besides her songwriting, Barnett is a modern guitar hero whose playing ranges from delicate to total shredding and makes her live show can't miss. Just before Courtney is the outlaw country maverick Margot Price, fresh off the release of Hard-Headed Woman, her fantastic new fifth album. Since her 2016 debut, Price has been a breath of fresh air in the country music world. Her current band features flat-picking prodigy and vocalist Logan Ledger, and they easily take listeners to the funky, rocking, and psychedelic corners of country music. Playing second this year is rising Canadian roots musician Jeremy Albino, my pick for this year's biggest surprise. If Albino is new to you, you're in for a retro-rocking and magnetic stage performer who brings to mind the early days of rock and roll music. This year's opener is Minnesota's own Alan Sparhawk, a northern Minnesota institution since the mid-90s with acclaimed indie rock band Low. His most recent project was a collaboration with fellow Duluth musicians Trampled by Turtles, a cathartic album that navigated his grief after the death of life and musical partner Mimi Parker. Now...
I come to you. And I hope, yeah, I hope, yeah, I hope, I hope you come for me. Don't come knocking at the door. I'll leave it hanging up there. But it's you I want to know. So come on, so come on, someday soon.
Join us for the 5th Annual Grand Rapids River Fest, Saturday, September 6th, presented by KAXE, the City of Grand Rapids, and sponsored by Grand Rapids State Bank. The lineup features Courtney Barnett, Margot Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sparhawk. Come along for a day of great music along the banks of the Mississippi River. Tickets available now at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm A. Martinez.
I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. A category on Jeopardy a few years ago was Public Radio Pioneers. The answer? This founding mother of NPR became the first woman to anchor a national nightly news program. The question, who is Susan Stamberg?
Good evening. From National Public Radio in Washington, I'm Susan Stamberg.
And I'm Bob Edwards with All Things Considered.
As heard there in the 1970s, Mrs. Stamberg is retiring after more than 50 years at NPR. For much of that time, she was a program host. As broadcasters say, she was the person in the chair. She has been with NPR so long, she remembers when there was no chair. She was hired before the new company headquarters had furniture.
In that first week, we sat on the floor listening to various tapes and reports and talking about what worked, what didn't, what we ought to sound like. We felt we were pioneers, trying to create a new golden age for radio.
Eventually, they got chairs and started All Things Considered in 1971. Susan grew up in New York on the Upper West Side, and she later said it took her a while to learn that the entire world was not Jewish. As an adult, she helped to create a forum where she and others called out to talk with every kind of person.
Is this Mayor Wallace Maxwell in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania?
That is right.
Mr. Mayor, why am I calling you today?
It's the anniversary of the rain day on July the 29th.
Every year on the 29th of July, it rains in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania?
Better than 90% of the time.
Is it raining today?
It has rained twice already today.
Susan asked simple but revealing questions. She asked an astronaut about going to the bathroom in space. And she asked this of Jorge Mester, the conductor of the Louisville Orchestra.
Don't your arms get tired?
Well, actually, I've just finished 3 straight days of conducting the Mahler Sixth, and my right arm's starting to feel very heavy.
Do people ask you this question?
No, this is the very first time I've been asked that, believe it or not.
She could ask uncomfortable questions, too. In 1975, the United States prepared to accept refugees after the defeat in the Vietnam War, so she broadcast calls with Americans who disapproved.
You were over there in Vietnam.
Right.
You fought alongside of those people. You fought for them. Don't you have some kind of an obligation to them now?
No.
And she really listened to the answers. In 1978, Susan interviewed a researcher whose study found a surprising number of Americans were avid readers.
We talked to 1,450 people, which would be the same as you'd try to call a national election.
But elections really are different from questions about how much do you read? And the thing that strikes me is I don't believe it. I don't believe people give the honest answers to questions like this.
Not long after that interview aired, a cartoon appeared in the New Yorker magazine. It depicted a woman handing the phone to her husband. Cartoonist Dean Vieta remembers what the wife said.
It's Susan Stamberg at National Public Radio. She wonders if you would defend yourself on the airwaves tomorrow.
Few people have spent more time behind a microphone, although when we brought a microphone to chat with her last year, Mrs. Stamberg pretended it was unfamiliar.
You're going to hold it?
I'm going to hold it.
That's fine. I don't know how to work those things.
Let me
get this out of your way.
She recalled her early days trying almost anything to illustrate the news.
Idiot ideas, like on a very hot day in Washington, we went out and tried to cook an egg on the sidewalk.
Did it work?
No.
What is the relationship that you build up with an audience when you're with them day after day over a long period of time?
Well, in the beginning, there was sort of a cult that loved us on All Things Considered. If I went on the air with a cold, people would leave me chicken soup at the receptionist's desk.
Oh my.
And I, raising no questions and having no fear about it, drank it. Can you imagine doing that today?
You'd want a food taster.
Yes.
So people felt connected to you.
They felt very connected. The women in the audience knew I was like them. We were all raising children. This was destination radio because it was a sound of more than goo goo ga ga, and it gave them something to think about.
Susan Stamberg drew pictures on the radio using words and sounds to put images in your head. Once, correspondent Ira Flato brought Susan a story about lifesavers.
The kids tell me that when you chew on them, they give off a glow, something like a spark or a sparkle.
Which they tested by trying it in the dark.
I saw it.
What did you see?
I saw a flash of kind of greenish light, just for a fraction of a second. I saw it again.
And if radio could give you the look of something, it could give you a taste. In 2002, I had just started as a program host when Susan burst into the studio.
I just thought it'd be nice to welcome you, see how you're doing. Is the chair comfy? The microphone fits? All that.
The chair's fine, but I smell something in the package you brought.
Well, here. Now that you mention it, I thought...
She went on to present me with cranberry relish, her mother-in-law's recipe, which included horseradish, and which she sneaked on the air Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving, including once while talking with Martha Stewart.
Read the recipe.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I like it. I think it sounds really good, and actually, I'm going to try it. I know. Is it supposed to be a joke?
Another time, Susan presented her cranberry relish to the band, The Cranberries.
It comes out thick and kind of chunky, and the color is Pepto-Bismol pink.
Oh, okay.
Shall I go on?
There's more?
The rapper Coolio liked it so much that he wrote a cranberry relish rap.
Now I got a relish, fellas. Mama Stamberg. That's what y'all heard. It's Coolio, not Stamberg.
My God. Goodness, thank you so much. A very happy Thanksgiving to you, Coolio.
Same to you.
During her decades at NPR, Mrs. Stamberg gave a lot of advice behind the scenes. And as she retires, many of her words are still in my head. The first time she ever interviewed me for the radio, we had to do a second take of something. I didn't like that. Said it wouldn't feel genuine. To which she cheerfully replied that our job was to perform. And here was the art of Susan Stamberg's performance. What you heard of her, the curiosity, the humor, the generosity, the toughness, that performance was also Susan Stamberg. It was real. She did her job with relish. This is NPR News.
Susan Stamberg, what a icon.
No kidding.
She was the first female host of a national news broadcast. She, along with Linda Wertheimer, Nina Totenberg, they're the mothers of National Public Radio and public radio in general, and really set the standards. She's 86 now. She deserves to step down if that's what she wants. She's brought so much to public radio.
She probably got up pretty early in the morning for those years.
There you go.
We'd like to thank Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org.
We would also like to thank the Sewing Room, hosting the Cultivating Communities Summit September 22nd and 23rd in Brainerd. It's a two-day event featuring keynotes, interactive workshops, live music, and a special film screening. Full details can be found at sewingroom.org.
Mostly cloudy today, a slight chance of rain. Highs 52 to 56 with northwest winds at 15 to 30 miles per hour. And I think we've hit the 30s already. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 37 to 42, again with northwest winds with gusts up to 30. And then Grand Rapids Riverfest day on Saturday, partly sunny, highs 57 to 60. Perfect. Northwest winds light, 5 to 10 miles per hour, with evening lows from 36 to 40. And then Sunday, mostly sunny with temps in the low to mid-60s. We're only focusing right now on Saturday. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be cool, but it's a good time to put some pants back on, maybe a sweatshirt. Bring it.